Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 17th, 2016, and is entitled, The Irresistible Beauty of a Tender Heart.
Friends, you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. So let's take our Bibles in hand and let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. So glad that you're able to be with us. If you are a guest, thank you for being here. Trust that you'll fill out that blue card. I certainly want to get to be better acquainted with you and hope that you'll land at a good church. One of them's called Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. And so we're thrilled that you're here. We've been in a series, a sermon series. It's entitled Building a Forever Faith. Building a Forever Faith. We've been looking at 1 and 2 Peter. We're still in the first book of Peter's epistle. And today's message is entitled, The Irresistible Beauty of a Tender Heart. The Irresistible Beauty of a Tender Heart. Chapter 3, 1 through 6 is where we're going to take a look at today. And as is our custom, let me just pray and ask the Lord to lead us. And I just know you're engaged right now. So, Father, thank you already for just sending the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that helps lead us to Christ and conform to your word and experience things. So, Lord, teach us. Help us. Let us see things. And help us to really just say, man, it was worth my time. Be around the Word of God today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're taking a look at the first verse, 1 through 6. And just before we read it, it is dealing with marriage. And one of the things that I am fully convinced of is that marriage actually magnifies a person's character, person's disposition. It magnifies a person's personality. So if a person is a leader or passive, if a person is a kind or unkindly, if a person is somehow maybe a little bit submissive or maybe defiant, all those things start to get magnified in a marriage. It's most interesting to see those things start to develop. Matter of fact, it was noted about this one couple that was having some marital strife, and she got upset and decided to tell her husband to come home and put little sheets of paper. You know how you do lost doggy, lost kitty on the telephone poles? Well, she laid it out there throughout the neighborhood, and it said something like this, honey, please come home. The children miss you. The lawn hasn't been mowed. And in 3 weeks, the garden needs a worm like you. Come home. Can you? So things come forth, doesn't it? A couple of guys were talking right there, early morning breakfast. And they're talking about who actually leads the house. Guys, do you lead the house? Does your wife submit to you? What does that look like? So these two guys are saying, yes, I am the dominant person. My wife follows suit. We've got a great relationship going on. But the one man, the third person in the party, was very quiet, didn't say a thing. So they finally directed their attention to him. So what's up with you? What's happening with you? He said, well, I just got a report to you that my wife came to me on her hands and knees crawling. Really? What happened? Well, she approached me and said, honey, get out from under the bed and fight like a man. Okay, well. Well, we're taking a look here in Peter's epistle, and he's dealing with submission. And that word's not an easy word. We've talked about that. It makes some people very nervous with laughter, ha ha ha. Some of them outright concerns to the point of scorn, or even worse, submission. But Peter's addressing that term, submission. He's dealt with it in four categories. In society, in the area of the workplace, he's dealing with home and in marriage. And so we're taking a look here, probably the smallest possible limited area in society, the home. We're taking a look at that here in this part of that where he's addressing that aspect. Let's read that together. Let me lead out. I'm reading from the New King James. And if you have another translation, that's just fine. But let's look at chapter 3 once again, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Let's take a look at our first element here. Isn't it interesting? We're addressing something here, and it's focused not a treatise on marriage, so let's not do that. It is really focusing in on a particular kind of relationship. You have a wife who is a Christian and a husband who is not a Christian. You have a wife who is a believer and a husband who is a non-believer. We call that unequally yoked. That's what the Bible calls that. You say, well, if you've never heard that term, what are we talking about? Unequally yoked. That sounds like an egg that's kind of like partially cooked. But it really, it's addressed because Scripture talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. To not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And that's not just in relationships of marriage. Could be in contracts and business. You're going to go at doing your business dealings in two different fashions. It's just not going to work so well. So we have a couple here. He's addressing this couple is actually married legally. They are married legitimately, but the believer is single. Single because spiritual bond is not together. They're not together spiritually. They are unequally yoked when it comes to spiritual things. And in my lifespan of senior pastoring, we've dealt a lot of this, where the wife's totally on fire for God, but the husband has nothing to do with God. And usually it always comes at the point of, should I tithe, Pastor? And I believe in tithing, but my husband's just not there. And matter of fact, would flip if I were to give anything to the church. He thinks it's all a scam. And well, boy, those are great conversations. And I think Peter really addresses things like this that we need to look at and recognize once again. So if we were to look, we want to take a look in verse 1, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. So some would even take those occasions, if they're not familiar with the Scripture, and say, man, you're a believer now. Why don't you just cut and run from that dude and get somebody you really do deserve? Well, that's not the Bible. That's not the way it is. Peter's not saying that at all. Paul writes about that as well. Don't do that. Don't do that. If that unbelieving husband wants to stay married, you stay married. That's very important. Who knows? Who knows? Zig Ziglar said this. I like what he said. He says, I have no way of knowing whether or not you married the wrong person. I do know that many people who have a lot of wrong ideas about marriage and what it takes to make that marriage happy and successful. I'll be the first to admit that it is possible that you did marry the wrong person. However, if you treat the wrong person like the right person, you could well end up having married the right person after all. So when we look here, it's worth noting because we're going to look at three marks of a tender-hearted woman. And as we address, and we'll talk about men next week, and you say, well, what's up with it? We're looking at 6 verses for the women and 1 verse, verse 7, about the men. Well, we'll talk about that next week. How about that? Is that all right? Because this is a real issue. So we're the marks of her actions, the marks of her attitude, and the marks of her admiration. Let's take a look. Number 1, her actions speak louder than her words. Look at verse 1 and 2 again, shall we? Wives, likewise, be submissive your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now, when they observe, or it says, watch carefully or scrutinize carefully. Let's go back to the first century just a little bit. What this setting as Peter's writing to these ladies who are born again believers, but husbands are not. In the Greco-Roman culture, women virtually had no right. They owned nothing. Matter of fact, the Roman law said that the husband, the man, has absolute authority. Absolute. Right down to, if need be, if he wanted to really execute their children, the law said, you have that right to do that. Wow. Even the daughters, when the daughters grew up and married another man, that's the only time they come out from under daddy's authority. Absolute authority is the Greek term for that. absolute authority. So you understand when that woman becomes born again, the usual custom was whatever direction that husband's going to go, the wife, the whole family will follow. That's why Paul says, man, you get saved, your whole household will be saved. But all of a sudden, you have here where the wife says, I'm going another direction. You know then, all of a sudden, that when that wife converts to Christianity, it's going to be complicated, it's going to be difficult. So to say, just go ahead and just cut and run, that would really cause something of a problem because Christianity was already viewed as a very rebellious kind of cult. So that's why the Apostle Paul, when he's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, when that unbelieving husband wants to stay married to you, Christian woman, stay married to him because you and the children are sanctified because of the believing spouse. Check it out. It's right there. One Christian in that authoritarian kind of approach, husband or wife, sanctifies the kids are sanctified, which means set apart, holy unto the Lord. And the Bible approach is that there's a greater chance now for God to speak to that man or speak to that woman. Stay put. They're in a great environment. So you can see here, number one, they would just literally say, stick with it, continue with it. Let the Holy Spirit have accessibility there. Number two, really, and then you can see here, submission. The Apostle Peter is talking, you're being submitted to the government. Even if they're a corrupt government, be submitted to your workplace, even if that master is unjust. And then all of a sudden now, Jesus submitted to the Father, even though his treatment in the end of chapter 2 was unjust, didn't open his mouth. Now, guess what, ladies? You could have the same thing going on in your life. Submit yourself to your husbands. Now, the word submission, we're not taking a look at. It's not saying that somehow you're some form of inferior person. Moral inferiority, no way. Somehow of intellectual inferiority, no way. Spiritual, no way. Not saying that at all. But submission, as Scripture is writing here, it brings order to society. That's how it is. It brings order to civilization. This is the order of things. Doesn't mean inferior at all. So that's important. Matter of fact, it comes right down. Galatians 3, verse 3:28 says that there is now neither man nor woman, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. There is no distinction. There's neither slave nor free. You're all one. That's a great verse. And I'm telling you, that's why we go for it when it comes to women in leadership ministry. We're all one in Christ. We need that female approach in ministry. We need the male approach in ministry. So we see here, isn't it interesting? So sometimes that superiority of a male or inferiority of a female somehow comes up. That's not true. It's not the way it is. And so the question would arise, well then, Pastor Paul, then how then do I submit to somebody I'm married to that doesn't even submit to Christ? How do I do that? That just sounds totally tough. Well, you know, this is still the order of things. And there are times, as we've addressed plenty, when that person that you are working with starts to superimpose their own will above the will of God. Can you imagine if the husband says, sweetheart, why don't you and I just go ahead and go on a bender, get a little drunk, and we'll go rob that bank on the corner? Not, oh, I'm submitted to you, sweetie. That's not it. You understand what that. Not it at all. That's what we're taking a look at. John Piper offers this. I like what he says. He says, the husband does not replace Christ as the woman's supreme authority. She must never follow her husband's leadership into sin, but even where a Christian wife may have to stand with Christ against the sinful will of her husband, she can still have a spirit of submission. She can show by her attitude and behavior that she does not like resisting his will and that she longs for him to forsake his sin and lead in righteousness so that her disposition to honor him as head can again produce harmony. I like that. That's so well said. So when we take a look at this aspect, her actions, the submissive practice, very important when we see that. Letter B on your notes, the silent preaching. Let's look at verse 1 again. Are you with me still? It says, and if some do not obey the word. Can you see the word? What word are we talking about? The Bible. If some do not obey the word. Look at the next line. They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Man, there's preaching going on, but there's no words that are actually being said. Well, that's important. I like that phrase. Man, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words. Have you ever heard that one? It's awesome. Now, words are important to get people saved. We saw that in this same epistle. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we've been born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. You've got to place your faith on something. But somewhere, somebody's life and conduct, it's important. Now, human nature, this is why this is brought up. Human nature is, you hear something enough, you tune it out. You tune it out. I don't need to be there. I've heard it. An example, the Christmas story, the Easter story. I've heard it. I don't need to. I know what it's all about. I don't need to hear. You tune it out. Isn't that true? That's how it is. And so if a wife, in this example, is somehow just preaching hard words about, hey, you better get right or get left. You better turn or you're going to burn. Somehow they're going to turn it out. That's human nature. It's happened to many of us where it's like, come on, we've heard that too much. My dad had probably about 5 or 6 phrases that he just always would say, And you just kind of tune out. That's just dad. He had one that says, a job worth doing is worth doing well. Another one is, you're as good as the best and better than the rest. Like, oh, dad, you have to say that. You're my dad. But those were phrases you just kind of like tune out. But you still remember them. But somewhere along the line, we have to be careful, dear ones, even beyond our own marriage, where nagging or somehow just arguing with our spouse, you got to come, you got to get right, you got to do something, and we badger and badger. Be careful. Now, as a man, let me just say, if a man is married to a woman loving Jesus, they're already going to feel threatened. They're going to feel threatened. How so? Well, my wife's married to somebody. She loves somebody else. I can't even see this dude. They feel threatened. So it's worth taking a look at that. And sometimes they are very upset. I'm not number one in her life anymore. It can really trouble a man. Men do have insecurities. He's always going to Sunday church. And guys come up with reasons why not to always go to church. Honey, you know I go to church. What? Why don't we just talk real? I just feel threatened. You're always there. You're there with those weird Christians, and you're doing different things, and you sing these songs that are different. And so it is unusual. So be careful, because there are those times that we can hear where a woman will always set the television programming to that evangelistic Christian programming. Isn't that true? That tracks on their pillow or in the lunch pail. Sneak into their automobile and put it on a Christian radio. Isn't that how it's like, I'm going to get him. Or you just get their mobile device and set it to John 3:16 on the screensaver. It's like, what? So we have to be careful. We're talking here, observed over a course of time, they'll be one when they see, man, Jesus is really for real. And that element of just submission and that role is so important. Let's take a look. Number two, her attitude is her prettiest feature, her attitude. Letter A, fleeting beauty. Let's look at verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, we're taking a look. This is not a text where we go with some form of a legalistic ban on fashion and style. Just thought I've heard those things before. I don't see that here. That's not what it's addressing. Everyone appreciates beauty. Man, that's why there's $7 billion spent on the industry. Everybody loves that. I feel comfortable talking about God created beauty. So everybody appreciates beauty. Matter of fact, it's been known in the Roman catacombs that, man, the Romans were into beauty. The women dyed their hair some pretty wild colors. Even wigs were found in the catacombs, and even among the Christian burial. Song of Solomon complimented his wife on the gold necklaces and just the arrangement on her cheeks and the fancy shoes she wore. That's pretty good. So fashion's important, and an unkept wife is actually very discouraging to a husband. So beauty is important. I just want to throw it out there. The first person recognized to wear makeup is found in 2 Kings 9:30. I thought you just want to know that, don't you? 2 Kings 9:30. Want to see if anybody's writing that even said, I'm not going to wear makeup. I never will. Well, it says this, that Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head. Now, you know, I've told you that before. People say, well, what do you think about women wearing makeup, Pastor Paul? Aren't you one of those Pentecostal preachers? I hear you're kind of like in that holiness movement. Well, my saying is, listen, if the house needs painting, baby, paint it. It works. It works. And here we have a woman who painted her eyes. Just enjoy that. Go with it. It's important. So Proverbs 31, verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. So, man, paint the house, but go on into the inside and furnish with holiness. Get character going. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. We're moving from just the exterior, going on in and say, man, let's have something that's a beautiful character that's going on. Incorruptible beauty. How many know last year's models, today's unemployed person? Isn't it true? It flees. It goes. So we take a look here in beauty. There's something about the beauty of a person and of a woman that lasts so long when it's of their character. I mean, it is beautiful. You observe the women in our church that are of the years. They have that character quality. They are beautiful. There is a beauty. It is stunning. So you can have a person that's stunning on the outside but totally ugly on the inside. And I'm telling you, that's a quick turnoff. So it's important that we take a look. Letter B, the imperishable beauty we're taking a look at. Man, the real you. Look at here again. When Scripture says here, rather, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Now, we all have that hidden person of the heart. That is all of us. We all have the hidden person. That is our character. That is our reputation. Let it be, rather, the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Man, that is fantastic. So when we look here, when we would consider how much time we spend in front of the mirror getting things ready on the exterior. What if we actually spent that equal amount of time spending to develop wonderful character qualities? So 30 minutes getting ready, what if we spent 30 minutes before the Lord? Wouldn't that be awesome? 30 minutes getting ready on the exterior, 30 minutes for the interior. Woohoo! So how do we furnish? What are those furnishings? What is it? Well, it's mentioned right here in Scripture, gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, gentle means meek, and that really means a controlled person that has great power. And that's an amazing thing. You know that person could wield what they say and how they say it, but they're going to control themselves in Christ. They control their mouth. They control their response. They control their emotions. Under God, they're controlled, and that's an amazing quality. Absolutely. You love working with those persons. You can't wait to invite them to the dialogue. Say, I give you permission to speak into my life. Man. Then quiet, that's tranquil. That literally means tranquil. It's like a lake, just a glassy lake. If you've ever gone fishing, you just see, man, there's not a breeze blowing, and it's just pristine beauty. Ooh, you just say, ooh, I got it all to myself. Some of you on the surf lineup, there's not a wave to be found. It could be the same. Sitting there just enjoying the setting. So when you look here, that quietness, action speaks louder than words. Her attitude is prettiest feature. And third, we're going to close with this. Her admiration is more biblical than conventional. Let me add that. Number three, her admiration is more biblical than conventional. Let's look at verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Letter A, former ladies of Scripture. Isn't it interesting here? Because all the Jewish women would always look back at their heroines from the Scripture. They wouldn't go to conventional thing like People's Magazine. They'd look at individuals like you would have Ruth. They would look at Ruth and the book of Ruth where her suitor, Boaz, would say this in Ruth 3, verse 11, for all the people of my whole town know that you are a virtuous woman. Wow, I want to be like Ruth. Or also Proverbs 3, 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And man, when you take a look at that, it's an amazing. And then goes on 22 verses describing her. So when we look here, the admiration should be more biblical than even contemporary. That's what we're addressing here. It's worth noting. Friends, that's why we carry Bibles. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for us. Teaches us things. That's why we carry the Bible. Like how do we conduct ourselves? What does the Bible say about certain things? What's our next step? And that's why we carry the Bible. We take a look at this. I don't want contemporary thoughts. I don't want man's wisdom. It helps, but how does it line up with the Word? That's why we carry the Bible. It is not just something that goes with our Sunday setting, man. It is my guidebook. And I have found my life is so blessed and rich because God knows my heart is I want to follow Him. I'm not perfect. I don't do it well, but He knows my heart, and He sure does lead me in right directions, and He will you too. So when we look here, it's important. Letter B, finally, First Lady of the Patriarchs. He takes a look. He picks one. First Lady of the Patriarchs, and that's Sarah. Look at verse 6. So as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Let's take a look just for a moment with Sarah. And it's interesting calling him Lord. That's little L. And you say, what is that all about? Well, that is a term used that would be like saying, sir, or I give you respect. But Sarah is worth mentioning here because was Abraham and Sarah's relationship perfect? Was Abraham a perfect person to follow? Absolutely not. I like the Bible because it shows character flaws in all these great men and women. But Abraham, there's one time he says, you know, there's a famine in the land, sweetie, and I don't think God's going to help us, so let's go on down to Egypt. Remember that? Let's go to Egypt. God's not going to help us. Then he gets down there and says, sweetheart, you are one beautiful babe, and they're going to probably kill me and want to marry you, so you go and tell them you're my sister. Remember that? I want you to lie for me. Like, what? Abraham, come on. And she submitted to that. That's what that's saying. Abraham wasn't perfect, but she was willing to some extent. So when we take a look here and we close off our Bibles, we recognize, let's choose character, not just good cosmetics. How about that? And let's do that. How about it? If you spent as much time in prepping and analyzing and taking a look at, you say, Lord, when's the last time I really let you just kind of examine my heart? The hidden person of the heart. That is such, it says clearly here in verse 4, the incorruptible beauty. It's just a beautiful person. Just a beautiful person. And the bottom line is this, and we'll close with this. Verse 4, which is very precious in the sight of God. Let's just put it this way. God is checking all of us out. He is checking all of you out. And as Peter's writing to us these last few weeks, man, our government's checking us out. The authorities are checking us out. Your employers are checking you out. Man, your unsaved spouse is checking you out. But all that aside, God is checking you out. Work on that character. Very precious in the sight of God. Very pleasing in the sight of God. We sing those songs, He Knows My Name. I'm telling you, you stick with that. You may not get many awards, recognition, accolades on this planet, but hey, we'll soon pass through this planet. Don't worry, it'll be done one day. One day it'll be done. Put some treasure in heaven. Get it going. Where moth and rust don't corrupt it. Thieves don't break in and take it from you. I want to go and be the best I can to please God. Anybody else with me? Right on. Let's stand to our feet. Shall we do that? We have individuals that are here to pray. Would you come on up here at this time? We're going to drop the house lights. What a beautiful setting. What a great day. If you need prayer, you need a miracle in your life, you need something to take place, we just welcome you. Come on up and let them know your first name. Just watch how the Lord affirms, confirms the preaching of the word. We got a chance to preach the word today. How many say amen? Needed to hear that. So with that, let's make sure that the Lord will cause what was spoken today to bear fruit. That's what I'm going to pray. So that, as Jesus said, the kingdom's like seed. Mark chapter 4, when the word goes forth, immediately Satan comes and snatches it. So it doesn't bear fruit. Let me pray that against that happening. So, Father, we want to thank you. Lord, you protect our hearts, the hidden person of the heart. Lord, what you spoke to us through worship, what you revealed to us when we got up this morning, those things that are of God, not of man and not of demonic activity. Lord, let your word be as a seed that bears good results. Lord, bless everybody today. Man, they're going to have a great time and a wonderful experience this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everyone. You're dismissed. God bless you.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.